Shalom, you're listening to the Remnant Mama Show on Hebrew Nation Radio, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. I'm today's host, Posey Salem, and we are so blessed that you are listening in with us today. This is part three of the series on ways to observe Yom Kippur. In the past two broadcasts, Nitza Moshe and I have been discussing a new idea concerning afflicting yourselves. Traditionally, the position has been held that that meant to fast for 24 hours for Yom Kippurim. However, last year, Nitza did some study concerning that word, afflict, and she came to the conclusion that it also would include the wearing of sackcloth as part of the afflicting of ourselves. She shared in part one of her own experience with that study and making her own garment. She did wear it last year for Yom Kippur. And this year, Avi and I will be doing likewise. I have purchased the burlap and made our garments. They are quite scratchy. We chose to do this because we are seeking to return to the ancient paths of Yahweh and to look at things differently and to do those things that we can do to return to the ancient paths. And this is something that's definitely doable. It's something that's fairly easy to do. It was very simple to make the garments, and it's one day. We see that it's something that we may return to periodically as we feel led of the Lord and as we feel that we want to come before Him in a humble way and beseech Him for any number of things. It may be something that you are interested in doing yourself at some point in the future. So if this is something that you might seriously consider doing next year or in the future as a way to come before Him with intercession and petitions, please check out my blog at www.seektheancientpath.com. We'll have some photos of us wearing our garments of affliction, and I'll give some guidelines for some of the ways that I constructed those garments. And as I mentioned before, I will follow up right after Yom Kippurim and before we head out for our Sukkot observance. I'll do another blog entry and let you know how those things went. So here's Nitza and I continuing that conversation.
That the desire is for us to be close and intimate, but we're the ones that need to move close. Amen. And we're the ones that also move back. We move away. So that we, all of that goes along with that purifying process.
And I just want to encourage people, you know, sometimes when you tell people you put on a garment of affliction, they just look at you like you've absolutely lost your mind. You know, but I mean, just really simply think about it. You know, if we're wanting to return to the ancient past, if we're wanting to be like Israel was, they're obviously, they did it. I mean, what has happened is we have been separated from our history. We've been separated from our traditions. We've been separated from our culture. We've been separated from everything. And if we're wanting to go back to that, and we can learn from every one of these examples, you know, it's not like you have to.
Right.
But again, He is so good about giving us, we're human beings or bodies that is, you know, more than one dimension. We're not just spiritual. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think that especially those of us with a Christian background, everything was spiritualized.
Yes.
You know, and as we walk in Torah and as we restore it to us and we're walking it out, we realize it is something we it does start in our spirit. But we start walking it out, and we physically are doing things. Those physical things in and of themselves don't save us or make us any better.
That's right.
But they are an expression that teaches and reinforces and refortifies our spirit and what
exactly
we're doing. And so there is benefit from walking out the moedim and the appointments and from wearing linen and from wearing sackcloth and from, you know, not eating pork. I mean, all those things that are in the scriptures.
Absolutely. And as I shared with the Yom Teruah teachings, I feel that all of these modims, all of these feasts, and the other things that we do throughout the year, that many of those suggestions that I gave, they were purely suggestions, but most of them, if you listen to them or if you look through some of the ideas in the broadcast notes, I am laying out things that we can see and that will engage our senses, the five senses that Yahweh gave us, to cause us to remember His principles, His word, the way He wants us to live and to walk out. And I clearly see this principle in Scripture. He had them walking things out. He gave them physical things to look at as reminders. And this garment of affliction is just one more of those things that it's a way that we, our senses will be used on Yom Kippur. We may feel the thirst. We may feel the itch or the scratch of the garment of affliction. We may have a grumbling in the stomach.
Well, even that thirst, you know, do we thirst for Him? Do we thirst for His Word?
That's right.
How are we fed on His Word? So that if we're not eating or drinking, we're reminded of what we are without being fed by His Word. His living Word. His Spirit that speaks to us. Not just the Torah as it's printed. I believe there's power in the original written word. But, you know, if I don't get any eggs thrown at me here, what I really like to express sometimes is that I am not worshiping a book with pen and paper.
Right.
That we call the Bible or the Tanakh or the Scriptures. I am worshiping, and I was created by the living Word that you cannot contain on paper. He's much bigger and greater than that. But in our finite minds and in our ways, He was gracious enough to not only write it into the heavens and proclaim it in the stars, but He wrote it with the physical word and letters that we have on paper that have been translated. And as we return more and more to the ancient language, we can see that power in His words. But He's much greater than just what we're looking at in those words on paper.
Absolutely. As I mentioned during one of the Yom Teruah segments, I talked about the apples and the honey and how, you know, that typically that's eaten at the time of Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah for the hope for a sweet new year, and how I said I like the idea of eating the apples and the honey, but not for that reason. Avi and I like to do it to remind ourselves physically as we're eating them, and we can talk about this together, of the sweetness of His Word. It's another one of those physical things that we do. It's activating the sense of taste, the sweetness of the honey and of the apples, that His Word should be to us as sweet as the honey. And as chewing and sucking the honey out of a piece of honeycomb in your mouth, that's what doing these things is about. It's to remind us to just go through them and not be speaking about why we're doing them and what scripture there is in connection with it. And we didn't grow up this way. We didn't grow up with all of this insight and this learning. So what we're doing now is trying to embed it in our memory, walk it out in our life, teach it to our children. How can you teach it to your children? You got to be talking about it. And isn't that what He tells us to
right,
do?
Deuteronomy, yes.
Day and night, in and out of the home, we're to be teaching and educating them. And if you're just going to be a talking head to your children, they're just going to tune you right out. You have to engage them. And the same way with us. I'm an adult educator, trainer, and so I understand that if you're not engaging even the adults, they're going to tune you out too. They can only take a short amount of time and then they're zoned out. And so by doing these things, I'm not telling you that you have to eat apples and honey. I'm just saying if you want to, do it, enjoy it, but think about it as a way to remind yourself that we need to be in His Word because it's sweet to us.
Yeah.
His Word will give us life. He said that it's sweetness.
You know, as home educators, I think it's a little bit easier to understand this because when you homeschool, you're always trying to find or do things to have your kids have hands-on.
Yes.
Okay? And when they have the hands-on, then they get it more. And so, but Father wants to do the same thing with us because we haven't had hands-on. And, you know, over 230-something times, He calls us in the scriptures, and this is just in the Tanakh, to zakar, to remember, to bring to remembrance about what he has done and what he will do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not a suggestion.
That's right.
It is a commandment to remember. And so when we do the Moedim, when we put on these garments, or whatever it is, we eat the apples, what it is, it's a physical, hands-on,
absolutely,
teaching, because we're this multi-dimensional kind of people that he created us to be, to cause us to remember.
That's right.
What he's done, what he will do, because he was, he is, and he is to come.
That's right.
And that is really what we're trying to, it's like, you know, the little record, the old-fashioned record, it's trying to put that groove back into our little
That's
brains
right.
and our hearts
That's
and
right.
our spirits. And every time, I don't know anybody who has not observed his Moedim and his feasts and his appointments, that every year, just like reading the scriptures, every time you come back around, you go, oh my goodness, I didn't see or understand this before.
Oh, absolutely. He
and you just
peels
grow.
Off another layer.
Yeah, you just grow and grow on your understanding and depth. I mean, you just can never, he's infinite, and you can never know enough.
Right.
Of the same scripture. I mean, Genesis 1, 1 through 4, I think you could spend your whole lifetime
sure.
on those verses alone.
I'm sure you could. Along with the causes to remember, we don't want it just to be all head knowledge. And so to me, that's also part of doing this. Why are we doing this? See, I believe that if you're a family and you have children...
We'll be taking a break here in a moment, but we'll be right back.
Before cold season comes to town, remember to have Breathe Easy in your remedy chest. Breathe Easy is Remnant Mama's number one choice to help fight bacterial, viral, or fungal infections and for supporting the respiratory system. When chicken pox or shingles come to visit your family, or you have sore aching muscles or bone spurs, why not try Breathe Easy? Check out this blend of essential oils, which includes three varieties of eucalyptus, by going to the Hebrew Nation radio store and clicking on Remnant Remedy for more information. Your purchase helps support the radio station and your family's health. Abba Father is gentle, and he is our healer. He has also created the herbs of the field for healing, such as rosemary, tea tree, clove bud, and Helichrysum metallicum. The shimmin, or essential oils, of these plants have medicinal and restorative properties. These oils are all combined together in the special blend called Gentle Healer, offered by Remnant Remedy. Gentle Healer is used to help restore and regenerate damaged skin tissue due to trauma or injury, such as burns, cuts, bruises, insect bites, and rashes. Many have used it instead of stitches for wounds, and it has been known to help fight staph, strep, ringworm, and skin candida. Due to the Helichrysum metallicum in Gentle Healer, it is also used for pain relief and inflammation. Try Gentle Healer for its ability to combat fungi, parasites, virus, and bacteria. Help support this radio station by going to the Hebrew Nation radio store and click on Remnant Remedy to purchase Gentle Healer and discover its gentle healing properties.
Well, we're back. You're listening to the Remnant Mama Show on Hebrew Nation Radio.
Or even if you have guests over and they're participating with you during these various
Which is
Moedim,
your family.
That's right. You need to be educating them. So why are we eating this particular food? Why are we... We don't want to be just constantly remembering things without applying them to our life.
Absolutely.
It's back to... You know,
but you can't apply them if you don't remember them.
Well, absolutely. Exactly. So I go back to the Shema. It's the hear and do.
Right.
It's the remember and the do. The two things are married, in my opinion. They're a chad. You can't, you know, you got to remember them and do them. You got to hear them and do them. So that
right.
we can like, walk them out.
Like when I talk to my children, are you listening? I mean, what we're really saying is, did you hear me? We're saying... Did you receive the information, and are you going to do it?
Exactly.
Because if you're not, then you're not really hearing me, right? You're
That's
not
right.
really listening.
Exactly.
You didn't Shema, right?
Right. So when we're making these suggestions for these fall feasts, please understand that always the motivation for the suggestions or the ideas that we have given out is to cause us to remember so that we can observe and walk in his ways. And many of these ideas take us back to, you know, walking in his ancient paths. But please do share with your children why you're doing this, why you want to eat this food, why you want to abstain from food, and if you choose to fast for Yom Kippur. Last thing that I can think of on a slightly more festive topic is the fast will end the day of, you know, the time of wearing the sackcloth will end. And so when the day of Yom Kippurim is concluded, what are you going to do? And so a couple of suggestions. You don't want to have some big heavy meal after you've been fasting, even if you've only been fasting part of the day. It's not wisdom to just overload your body. So we recommend that you eat a light meal. Sometimes a breakfast-type food is ideal. You sure don't want to have a big meal and some kind of heavy, you know, a salad with acidic dressing and whatnot. You want to have lighter foods, maybe a soup that's not, that has more of a clear broth, that doesn't have a whole lot of vegetables in it. Eating light. If you want to do something special for Yom Kippur in the way of perhaps having challah available, you can bake it in the shape of a ladder or of raised arms. That would be an odd-shaped challah. The idea for the challah in this very weird shape of a ladder or arms raised up is the idea of our prayers ascending to Yahweh. And since the day is a day of prayer, we definitely want our prayers to ascend. And so this is just another visual picture of our prayers ascending. It's something different than the normal shape that we have for challah. And so it might be something that you would like to do to make the day special. Is when you bake challah for this feast, you might want to make it in the shape of a ladder or of arms raised up. And then you need to share this. Why are we doing this? Because of the day of prayer and of our prayers ascending to the Lord, of the incense that was taken into the most holy place by the high priest that would ascend inside the most holy place and envelop that room, symbolic of our prayers rising up as incense before him. Nisa made a point a moment ago that I didn't mention. It's customary before Yom Teruah, on the evening before, to have a meal, and that often that meal includes like matzo ball soup or something like that, which is a clear broth soup, chicken soup, clear chicken soup, along with other things for the meal. It's usually a substantial meal, the idea being that it will help hold you longer going through the fast. But then coming out of the fast, you don't want to sit down and have some big meal that, you know, you're reheating. You want to eat lighter foods. So keep that in mind from a health perspective. I've read a number of articles that recommend when you're coming off of a fast like that, you don't want to dive into a big meal. It's just too much for your digestive system to handle. So you want to consider that. That's good ammunition for your children, maybe older children that decided to fast with you, and then, okay, it's done, and let's eat, and, well, I want this and that and the other thing, you know, pizza and spaghetti and, you know, real spicy foods. Just not a good idea.
And you know, with some children, like what we do, depending on their certain ages, sometimes we might ask if the children are ready and they're willing to just give up one meal.
Exactly.
But, you know, they might not have to give up all the meals between this for that day, but if they would just give up one willingly, then they get to practice according to their age and their ability.
Exactly. Another thing is, if you're not in the habit of drinking water and you like to drink another beverage, or your children do, perhaps that's something that you could do, is give up the other beverage.
Right, and just drink the water.
If you can't go without the liquid, you might just want to, you know, okay, well, for today, I'll be drinking just water.
And like, so in the South, no sweet tea.
That's exactly right. No sweet tea.
Maybe just unsweet tea, you know.
No lattes from Starbucks, because you're not going to be going there anyway. But
right.
We make them here, don't we, Miss
Lisa? Yes. They make the best here. It's better than Starbucks.
But, you know, that's just another way that you can modify some of these things to suit you depending on what your dietary requirements are and whether you have children there. And is there anything else that you can think of that we might want to, they might want to share with guests that they might have come and help, spend time praying? That's something you can do.
You can always have a really good prayer meeting.
Yes.
And it's not the prayer meeting where everybody has a share dish. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not the blessing pot. It's, come with empty hands and just pray and intercede.
Right. It's also a wonderful opportunity to be praying for the land of Israel and requesting, beseeching Father to come and bring his peace and set up his kingdom there. The word tells us in Psalms 122, I believe it's verse 6, to pray for the peace of Yerushalayim. And so this is a perfect opportunity to include prayers in that regard as well. Pray for the remnant to be gathered.
Amen.
And to all of Israel to be assembled together and walking as one in his land.
Right, because we need to remember that, again, I've said this so often, in America we usually think about just us Americans, and we have to cross over no matter where we are in the world. I mean, I think that's part of crossing over.
Yes.
In your heart and your spirit, that you are not Chinese, Japanese, French, Korean, American, Mexican, whatever it is, the country that you have been dispersed into, that when you come into covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you now become Israel, and you have brothers and sisters all over the entire world, the globe,
yes,
and that we are looking for the days of fulfillment of prophecy, that we are all going to be regathered and reunited. Regardless of whether we're physical or just spiritual brothers and sisters, we are all spiritual brothers and sisters in our heart and in our agreement to walk and endeavor to walk in the Ruach and the Torah that makes us the family of Israel that's going to rule and reign with him, because he loves us so much that he's going to bring his children together. And so we really do need to pray that the remnant, wherever they are, is prepared in spirit, mind, soul, and body. And I just have a constant reminder that with enough persecution, we are all going to get along.
Oh, yes. Just more exciting things to look forward to.
So there's a good thing coming out of that, because we really need to get over a lot of things. And I think the more we learn, the more we study the original language, the more we return, it's foolish of us to really argue with any animosity in our hearts towards one another, because Father is the one who disciplines us. I'm not to be about disciplining Miss Posey to see things the way I do with my little revelations or our differences of opinion, because you're my sister. And Father is more than capable of disciplining and giving me a spanking and getting me in line. And maybe he thinks some things are more important for me to learn before other things, whereas you have your own relationship with him, and he knows what you need to have your little whoopings with.
That's right.
To get in line.
We are nearing the end of our broadcast for today, but we'll continue on our journey of restoration next time. Avi and I encourage you to visit our website at www.seektheancientpath.com. Sign up and receive our free newsletter, follow our blog, and take advantage of all the articles, audio teachings, and Remnant Mama broadcasts we have archived there. Until next time, this is Posey Salem for all the Remnant Mamas. Ahava and Shalom.